Bible, please turn to chapter 21. John chapter 21, we're going to look at verse 20 through verse 25. John chapter 21, verses 20 through 25. We'll read this passage responsively. I'm going to have you stay seated due to the heat. keep your heat in your seat, amen? And John chapter 21, we'll read verses 20 through 25 together responsively. Here we go. Then Peter, turning about, seeth a disciple whom Jesus loved following, which also leaned on his breast at supper, and said, Lord, which is he that betrayeth thee? Peter, seeing him, saith to Jesus, Lord, and what shall this man do? Jesus saith unto him, If I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? Follow thou me. Then went this saying abroad among the brethren, that the disciple should not die. Yet Jesus said not unto him, He shall not die. But if I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? This is the disciple which testifieth of these things, and wrote these things. And we know that his testimony is true. And there are also many other things which Jesus did, the which, if we should be written every one, I suppose that even the world itself could not contain the books that should be written. Amen. And let's pray. Lord, we sure do need you. Lord, I want to be a help to your people. I would love for your people to walk away today with a truth that literally would change their lives. Pray that you'd help in a special way. In Jesus' name, amen. Here in John chapter 20 chapter 21 is a very interesting story. Calvary has already taken place. Jesus has been crucified. Not only that, he's resurrected from the dead 3 days and three nights later. We have the Lord getting regathered with the disciples, and he's back together with them. And he's not yet unleashed them to, I'll borrow a term from the book of Acts, turn the world upside down yet. But they're in that 40-day waiting period, training period, if you would like to say, between the resurrection and Pentecost and Jesus going back to heaven. Now, here in John 21, the passage we read, you have the Apostle Peter asking Jesus a question. And he says, Lord, what is John going to do now? Is he going to live or is he going to die? Peter, verse 20, saw the disciple whom Jesus loved. That's the Apostle John. And he said, Lord, what's going to happen? Is he going to be all right? Is John going to have such and such or be such and such? And here's what's interesting to me. Verse 22, Jesus answered him and said, What is that to thee? Amen. Let me bring it down into modern terminology. Mind your own business.
There you go.
Matter of fact, verse 23, look at the last sentence there. It says, If I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? Mm-hmm. In other words, whatever I decide is up to me. It's none of your business.
Yes, sir.
Amen. If your Bibles are open, look at Acts chapter 1. It's just either across the page or maybe even on the same page. Look at verse number, Acts chapter 1, verse number 6. When therefore they were come together, they asked him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom of Israel? And he said unto them, It is not for you to know the times of the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power. Translation, none of your business.
Amen.
It's none of your business. You have to understand, this is just days, maybe as long as weeks, after John chapter 21. This is the last day before Jesus. This is the actual day Jesus is going back to heaven. This is the actual, Jesus is about to ascend to heaven. And once again, he has to say, fellas, it's none of your business. Mm-hmm. You're not supposed to know the times and the seasons. That's for me to know, not for you. And I hate to tell you this. We're not much different than the disciples. I believe if the Lord were here, many of us Christians would hear our Savior say, "None of your business." Now, hold that thought. I'm going to transition. When I was a kid, and I know that for some of you teenagers, you think that was a long time ago. Not as long as it is for others, but it was a long time ago. And yes, they did make children back in those days. There was times you'd be on the playground or out on the ball field and you're talking with your friends or playing with one of those, we used to call them Super Balls. I don't know what they call them now, those little rubber balls. That was one of the greatest toys God ever invented. I could play for hours with a ball, didn't matter what kind it was. And after you wore a baseball out, you unrolled it and got the little bouncy ball in the middle and played with that even. There are ways to find a ball somewhere, amen? Crawl through the sewers and find them, whatever you got to do, but you can find them. But every once in a while, you'd be talking with your friends, or you'd be in a little group and somebody would want to come up and they'd say, "What you talking about?" The statement when I was a kid was this: "Mind your own beeswax." Y'all know what I'm talking about? All right. Some of you are old enough to remember that term. Mind your own beeswax. In other words, they really didn't want to participate. They just wanted to find out what was going on. They were the gossip listeners. They were the truth detectors. Mind your own beeswax. I was reading this story, and I pictured Jesus looking at the disciples in all three of these places and saying, "Fellas, just mind your own beeswax." Now, that statement arrested my attention. I thought, where in the world did that ever come from? What does beeswax have to do with anything? Back in the late 1700s and early 1800s, smallpox was big in America. And oftentimes, if you ended up with smallpox, it would leave your face and sometimes your arms pitted. The sores that would come from that would actually leave your skin really bumpy. And the ladies literally would use beeswax on their face to smooth it out. That's all well and good till you get too hot. And then beeswax would be dripping off your chin. And somebody would look at you like, "Ooh, it's dripping." And a lady would say, "Mind your own beeswax. You better look at yours because yours is dripping too there, honey." That is exactly where that term started. In other words, quit looking at mine. Yours is just as bad. Now, I find that humorous. I really do. Even today, you have people that use, there's a lot of beeswax used in different cosmetics and other things, lip balms and things like Burt's beeswax and all that kind of stuff. It's there. Now, several times here, Peter or the disciples ask Jesus a question, and he literally says, "Fellas, mind your own beeswax. You're more concerned about something that's none of your business to know. You're just looking for information that you can't do anything about anyway. So get your nose in your own business. Get your nose out of mine." Yep. Now, I'm going to make a statement here. If you miss everything in the sermon, wake up for this. Slap yourself or slap somebody. Most of the problems, most of the worries, most of the anxieties you face in life are caused by you not minding your own beeswax. You probably, if you'll look back in your own life, you worry about things that aren't yours to worry about.
Yes.
You fear things that aren't yours to fear. You get upset, you get anxious over things that you have no control over. And God is telling you, mind your own beeswax. Title of my sermon is, Mind Your Own Beeswax. You see, we worry about the future. Mind your own beeswax. We're worried about our past. Mind your own beeswax. We're worried about something that somebody else is doing. Mind your own beeswax. Now, There are three areas that I believe Jesus was talking about here, and I want to help you with today. This is not going to be a hard sermon as far as not going to be swinging off the ceiling tiles and all that kind of stuff, but the truth might penetrate pretty hard. But I'd like you to listen. I think I can help you. Number one, mind your own beeswax about the future. It's not yours to know. Mind your own beeswax about the future. It's not yours to know. Did you know we human beings are very good at wanting to be God, knowing everything? We have this innate desire because of our sin that we want to know everything. You ladies know what I'm talking about. From the time you could walk and talk and think, you were planning your wedding. Not a one of you did it ever go exactly the way you planned. But you say, why? Because you planned it 14,237 times. And then when it happened, it didn't happen that way. You all know what I'm talking about? You certainly didn't get the one that you were planning on. Prince Charming was the frog. You married a hunk, but he turned into a chunk. You know, we humans want to know, we want to see things before it gets here. Even a child, they hit that 2, 3, 4-year-old stage. The favorite question ever asked by that child. Why? 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 You know, you get tired of that question after a while. In other words, I want to know before I do something what I'm about to do. God said, there are things in the future you shouldn't worry about. Most Christians spend way too much time studying Bible prophecy and not Bible obedience. Let me say that again. We have way too many Christians worried about what's going to happen during the tribulation and the events and the order of the events. There's 42 judgments, and they're looking at what order they're in and exactly what's going to happen, and they know how many toes are on the beast, and they know how many horns and what colors they are, and all the colors of the horses. We got a lot of people that understand all those things, but they're not living the Christian life right now. And may I be so bold as to say this, most of Bible prophecy, we're going to be in heaven, and we don't have to worry about it down here anyway. Amen. What are you worried about? Well, I'm an expert on the 7 years tribulation. Great, me too. I'm going to be in heaven eating and receiving rewards. Amen. Having a party with Jesus. You can bother yourself with going on down here. Guess what? We're missing it. Amen. I like that. You say, what part of prophecy do you know? I know we come back at the end of the tribulation with Jesus on white horses. He puts down the opposing army, sets up for 1,000 years, and we rule and reign with him here on earth. What else do you need to know? Say, well, what's going to happen during... I'm not worried about it. I'm not going to be here. I'm not going to be here. I'm not going to spend so much of my time like that. I'd rather you go out and go knock on doors and win somebody to Christ and take 16 hours and study that stuff because it's not going to help anybody. I'm not saying we should be stupid about biblical prophecy, but may I say this? I think we spend way too much time on it. There's too many unknowns. God didn't give you a lot of knowns about it because he then knew you would play God. Amen. Everybody doing all right? Did you know from Revelation chapter 4, verse number 1, we're in heaven? Oh, the book of Revelation. We're going to take the next 3 years and study prophecy in the book of Revelation and cross-reference it to the book of Daniel and the book of Ezekiel and the book of Isaiah and the book of Jeremiah. Have fun. I'm going to teach our people how to live right. When you get to heaven, all your sin nature is knocked away anyway. You're not going to be judged for it. Why don't we live right so that we're earning rank for when we do get to heaven and we do rule and reign with Jesus on earth? We have something to do other than sweep streets or clean toilets. Now, I'm not against sweeping streets and cleaning toilets. I was out there cleaning cigarette butts up in front of the church all morning this morning. Brother Stoltz and I got an entire Walmart bag full of cigarette butts out there this morning. And I'm not afraid to do that kind of stuff. Because I want it clean and nice for you when you come to church. But may I say this, I'd rather do that than study Bible prophecy for 6 weeks. Everybody doing all right? Jesus rebuked the disciples in Acts chapter 1, verse number 7. He said, "It is not for you to know the times nor the seasons." Amen. Oh, preacher, when's the rapture going to take place? I can tell you exactly when it's going to take place. When he comes back.
Amen.
That was deep, wasn't it? Well, I've read that all the signs are pointing. All the signs have been in place since the disciples were here. They stood there looking up, waiting for Jesus to come back. The angels had to slap him upside the head and say, "Hey, fellas, why stand you here gazing? Get out there and go do what he said go do." That was 2,000 years ago, folks. They were looking for Jesus to come back in the Apostle Paul's day. I know we're closer than we were then. Say, well, what about everything that's going on with ISIS and Turkey? And by the way, Turkey is a very vital role in the end day biblical prophecy, just so you know. The European common market is very pivotal in the end day. Watch China, watch Turkey, watch Russia. But may I say this? Well, did you know that the euro? Yeah, I know the euro. Well, that's part of the one world system. You don't know that. Nothing we have in place today is the one world system. Everything's precursors for it, I believe. But you have to have global economic collapse, bankruptcy, for a world leader to come on the stage and say, okay, let's put everybody in the world under one economy. Now, you're hearing that term in the last 5 years like you've never heard it. Global economy. That's setting us up for the one world system. But may I say this, before it's enacted, we're gone. We're gone. You don't have to worry about it. You don't have to hoard your money. You don't have to, I'm not against you buying gold or silver. I'm not saying we're not up to some tough times, but you can buy all the gold you want. If somebody else doesn't have it to give you, it's not going to do you any good either. Keep stocking up on ammo so you can keep shooting critters and eating them. Amen? You know, we get upset because life doesn't turn out like we expected. We get upset because we had it all planned out and it didn't quite turn out like we expected. I almost fear doing this, but I don't have a fear because I know I'm right. How many of you, when you were 14, 15, 16, 17 years old, your life has turned out exactly the way you planned? No takers? Mine didn't either. Can I tell you something? Because you're not as good at knowing what's going on in life. And life has a way of throwing curveballs at you. And every once in a while, they hit you. And they hurt. And you got to change plans. So your life isn't exactly the way you planned. Some of you have had big heartaches. Some of you have had big burdens. Some of you have had tragedy after tragedy after tragedy. And I understand, but can I tell you something? We're so wanting to know what's next. What's next? What's next that we don't do what we're supposed to do right now? Jesus said, "Hey, fellas, don't worry about what's next. Just do what I told you to do right now." Jesus told Peter in John 21, he said, "It's none of your business, none of your beeswax, follow me. It's none of your business, follow me." In verse 7, he said, in Acts 1, he said unto them, "It's not for you to know the times of the season which the Father has put in his own power, but ye shall receive power." Acts 1:8. "After that, the Holy Ghost will come upon you. And ye shall be witnesses unto me." He said, look, it doesn't matter what's down in the future. You get the power of God on your life. You go out and win people to Christ and let the times and the seasons take care of themselves. Yes. Oh, we're entering global warming. Yeah, it's hot outside. It's summer. Right. How long is this heat wave going to be here? Till it's over? I'm not worried about it. Told somebody, a couple of you this morning, thank God for the heat. I don't have to shovel snow or plow snow at all. Amen. I had more than enough in one storm last year to last me forever. Okay. I've seen enough snow. If I never saw another flake again, I'd be a very happy man. But I'm also not going to complain about it when it comes. I don't complain about the weather. Did you know I don't complain when it rains? I don't complain when it doesn't rain. I don't complain when it snows a whole lot. And I don't complain when it's hot outside. I don't complain when it's cold outside. But I don't want to live in Minnesota. My in-laws were complaining about the heat this week. It got all the way up into the 70s. It's been in the 40s at night there. And they're complaining about the heat. I said, shut up. You know, you say, that's not nice. It's my in-laws. Did you know that how you planned life for your children didn't quite turn out? If those of you that have adult children. We get so worried about how our children are supposed to be. In whose book? Yours or God's? Everybody doing all right?
That's good.
Now, we need to realize we don't own our children for all of their life. They're God's. He gave them to you on loan to rear for him. After they get old enough, it's between them and God, not between you and God and you and them. If my children do right, praise the Lord. If not, praise the Lord. Got one that's an assistant pastor in Miami, Florida, married right now. Got another one working on a bus route in Lexington. Got another one going to Bible college, and will be on her bus route there, but she's on the bus route here now. Amen. Thank God for that, but it wasn't always that way. The one that's an assistant pastor in Florida was a handful. He was the next Al Capone for a while. You say, no, you don't know what I know. Man, I had a couple years of, it was touch and go. And I'll be honest with you, I wasn't happy about it. But there's nothing I could do about it. He was an adult. Guess what? Got himself right, and I feel sorry for the devil right now.
Amen.
Almost. You know, you're going to be much happier and much more productive by not trying to predict the future and not being disappointed in the future that it didn't turn out like you wanted. Nobody would have ever predicted what's going on today in their life, including me. Just so you know. Nobody. Nobody. If you'd have asked me 25 years ago if I'd be pastoring a church right now, I'd have laughed in your stinking face. I'd have said, mm-mm. Matter of fact, last conversation I had about with my pastor, Brother Hiles, in the fall of 2000, he said, Craig, let's talk about your future. He died 4 months later. He said, what do you want to do? I said, I want to be an assistant pastor my whole life. I said, it's going to take a stick of dynamite to get me out of the assistant pastor into the ministry.
Yes, sir.
He said, good. He said, if I'd have known 50 years ago what you know now, I'd have never pastored either. We laughed about it, talked about it. He said, just do one thing. Just promise me, if the pastorate comes up and it's God's will, you don't refuse it. He said, God will make it very clear when it's time, if it's ever time. I said, promise you. I said, I told God I wouldn't put a ceiling on God. Well, about 3.5-4 years ago, God made it very clear.
Amen.
It wasn't a stick of dynamite, it was a case of C4.
Amen.
But, praise God, we've had thousands of people saved. We've been able to touch many, many people, see a lot of lives change. Can I tell you something? I get excited about it.
That's good.
I get excited. Now, it's not the path I would have chose, just so you know. I was happy as a June bug on the last day of May. I was happy. I'm still happy. I'm as happy today as I was then, just so you know. Say why? God's will is progressive. Romans chapter 12, verse number 1. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable, God, which is your reasonable service. Watch this. Be not conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove whether it is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. It doesn't say good or acceptable, or good or perfect. It says good and acceptable and perfect. Notice the conjunction there. Not or, and. You see, as life changes, God's will progresses with it. Everybody doing all right? You say, preacher, I never heard that before. It's in the Bible. We've preached it wrong for a long, awfully long time. God put every word in that book on purpose. Good will of God and acceptable will of God and perfect will of God. I've needed all the experiences I've had in all of my ministry for such a time as this. If I would not have had all those things, I could not help the people or the situations that I'm doing right now. And I needed all those. By the way, they weren't all easy or fun. Bless Mrs. Lopez's heart. She texted me this morning to tell me about her brother-in-law going to heaven. And it wasn't 2 minutes later, she texted me and she said, "Preacher, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to give you bad news before you preached this morning." I sat there and cried for a minute that somebody cared that much. But it's okay. Let me know. I can handle that. Now, don't come tell me that I got a battle on my hands and 14 people are about ready to strangle me. I'll take the fight outside later. All right? But if you got news like that, call me. Can I tell you something? Plan for the future, but be ready to adjust your plans so that you're not disappointed. So, Jesus told everybody to mind their own beeswax in reference to the future. Number two. We should mind our own beeswax about the things we can't do anything about or fix. We should mind our own beeswax about things that we can't fix or that are not in our area of expertise. Peter was asking Jesus about John's life. He wasn't asking about his own. He was asking about somebody else. And Jesus looked at Peter and said, "Mind your own beeswax, Peter. You better just follow me and do what you're supposed to do. I'll take care of John. You take care of Peter." We want to control and we want information about everybody else's life and everybody else's problems. I'm going to make a statement here. This isn't going to be real popular. There's a reason I don't start church services with a lot of negative prayer requests. There's a reason, and I'm not against it, but we're not going to have a Wednesday night prayer meeting and print everybody's troubles in a bulletin and pass it out. See, well, how are you going to get things done? Word travels, trust me. You talk about a good way to depress a church, start with about 30 or 40 negative prayer requests. Man, you came to church to get encouraged, not discouraged. You got enough problems, you don't want to know 40 other people's problems. And by the way, I just thought I'd say this. Be careful about talking about somebody else's problems that you can't fix. I got a little pocket of you talking about somebody's problem right now, and you don't have all the information. You're believing one person right now. Can I tell you? You're not being just, nor fair, nor right. So you talking about me? Yep. That's called nipping it in the bud. Say, "Well, I happen to know." No, you don't. No, you don't. Everybody doing all right? The altar fits everybody. You know, we don't have any control over certain situations. Do you know it's not my worry and it's not my realm of control, so to speak, how Brother Joe rears his children? That's his business. Now, if he comes ask my advice, I'll give my advice to him. Put him in a barrel and plug up the hole for a while. No, I'm teasing. That's what I did with mine. And even that didn't work. But did you know there are certain situations we have no control over, so why worry about them? You know, I don't go to sleep every night worrying about how Brother Barnes is going to rear his children. Now, I pray for him and his children, and I pray for his child rearing, but I don't sit there and think about it every minute of the day. You say, why? I had three of my own. I still have them, and I got to help them. That's all God gave me. Why am I going to spend my whole life? Now, wait a minute. If it comes to me, I'll help you. We'll take the Bible and work through it. I can tell you some things not to do. I found out they don't work. Can I tell you something? We worry about things that aren't ours to worry about. And Jesus looked at Peter and said, "Peter, you're more concerned about what John is supposed to do than what you're supposed to do. Mind your own beeswax and follow me." Why is it that we just got to know everybody's business? Okay, here it comes. You ready? I'm talking about Facebook. Man, some of you can't go to the potty without putting it on Facebook. I'm not necessarily preaching just against Facebook right now, but some of you put way too much for everybody in the world to understand. Now, I'm not on Facebook. Our church is not on Facebook. Praise God. I had a college student walk up to me a year ago. He said, I looked for your church on Facebook. I can't find you. I said, we're not there. He said, well, you can't build a church without being on Facebook. I said, shh, don't tell my people that. I said, at that time, we'd had about 1,600 people saved. I said, we've only had 1,600 people saved. Don't tell my people we can't do that.
Right.
He said, I didn't think you could build a church without Facebook. I said, son, let me teach you something. Put your face in the book and get rid of Facebook. You'll find out how to build a church.
Amen.
Can I tell you something? We're so concerned about everybody else's business. Even if you knew what it was, you couldn't do anything about it anyway.
That's right.
Everybody doing all right? Okay, take a deep breath. Some of you ought to quit listening to so much news. They tell you about things you have no control over. I'm not against understanding what's going on in the world. Believe me, I stay up with it a little bit. But in recent weeks and months, I have cut way back on the amount of news I listen to. Because it's just depressing. It really is. Now, I stay up with things so that I can stay current with people as I communicate with them. But let me tell you, I've filtered a lot of news, and I've met a lot of news people. 90%, 98% of what's in the news really isn't real. Just so you know. You're only seeing what they want you to see to program the American people. Boy, that's good stuff. We need men especially to learn how to listen and not try to fix everything. Do you know there's times, fellas, your wife wants to talk to you and she doesn't want you to fix a problem. She just wants to talk it out. There's times my daughter just wants to talk. I took her on a date this week. And I said, we just talked. I didn't try to fix any of her problems. I think we were talking at one point in time. I said, do you want me to fix it or you just want to talk? Oh, I'll listen. I said, good. But if she would have said, no, I just want to talk, I wouldn't have said anything. You say, why? Because sometimes they just want to get it talked out. Y'all know what I'm talking about? I don't have to fix it. Do you know she doesn't have to follow my advice totally about going through college? But her dad graduated from college. Her mom graduated from college. I've taught college. I've administrated college. I know a little bit more about college than she does. She learned in the first year, Dad knows a little bit more than she thought he knew. She's a little bit more willing to listen for the next year. Can I tell you why? She found out I wasn't just talking. I knew. Now, wait a minute. I'm not going to force it on her. Say, well, what if she makes a mistake? She got to take that class again. And she got to pay for it. It's okay. That's what college is for. You learn things. Some of you ought to learn to listen before you go. Somebody does know a little bit more than you do, even though you think you know it all. Boy, that's a good statement. Do you know, if a friend tells you something, they don't want you to tell everybody in the world? That's one thing I have against Facebook. Whatever you say, the whole world knows. Let me ask you a question. Those of you that have come seen me about problems in your life, you want me to post it on Facebook for you?
No.
That's what you're doing with a lot of your friends. Well, I'm doing it in the form of a prayer request. Okay, let's take your problem, have me put it on Facebook as a prayer request for all of the people in the world. That's called spiritualizing gossip. Everybody doing all right? Mind your own beeswax. Okay, I better move on. I got to hurry. Number three. This is the one I'm really wanting to get at anyway. First two were just warming you up a little bit. Third area, we should mind our own beeswax about the past.
Amen.
We ought to mind our own beeswax about the past. And by the way, let me say this, not just somebody else's past, but your past as well.
Amen.
Did you know every person in this room is a sinner?
Yes.
I'm a sinner. Jesse's a sinner. Kathy's a sinner. You know Brother Jimbo's a sinner. Look at Brother Stoltz.
Amen.
He is the chiefest of all. Can I tell you something? We're all sinners.
Yes.
Well, my garbage doesn't stink as bad as your garbage. Okay, let's go around smelling everybody's garbage to see who has the stinkiest garbage. That's really good stuff. That's the way we Christians sometimes live our life about people's past.
Thank you.
The past can't be changed.
That's right. Yep.
The past, listen to this, cannot be fixed.
Nope.
But the past does not have to be repeated.
Amen.
Either in action or in words.
Yep.
Let me say that again. Past can't be fixed and it can't be changed, but it does not have to be repeated. It doesn't have to be repeated with us talking about it or us repeating it and doing it over again.
Right.
The past can't be lived again. Some of you have some good things in the past. Can I tell you something? It's past. You can't live it again. Did you know there are some good days with your children when they're home, but you can't have them all the time? I'll be honest with you. I decided a long time ago I was going to enjoy every stage of life.
Yes,
sir. Every stage. Now, yes, it hurt when my oldest left and went to Bible college. Yes, it hurt when the next one left and went to college and moved away and living in Lexington on his own right now. Yes, it hurt when we took my daughter to college and it smacked me like a Mack truck. Didn't expect it to, but it slapped me upside the head when I had to leave her. I cried for a couple hours, walked away. By the time I got partway back home, I was all right. But wait a minute. When I had to go get her and bring her home, I was almost like, good night, I've enjoyed 9 months without her. This is going to be a little change here. I love having her home. I took her on a date this week. She doesn't know this. Then I texted her boyfriend and said, I just took my daughter on a date. He said, oh, man, tell her I said hi. I didn't tell her that. Yeah. Say, what'd you do? I texted back and said, I don't have to. Nah, 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 nah. Say, that's not nice. I never said I was nice. Now, wait a minute. Can I tell you something? I enjoy each stage of my life. I got to be part of my oldest son's wedding. Got to take part in it. I didn't do the actual vows, but I did the first part of the wedding. Man, did I have fun with that. Before we walked out, I cried. I didn't think I was going to. I mean, getting rid of Josh, that's a happy day. No. I was literally happy for them. But let me say this. I thank God for each stage. I'm not ready for some little critter to call me grandpa yet. But when it happens, I'm sure I'm going to be ready for it.
Yes.
I just can't be pictured to a grandma yet. I'm not old enough to be married to a grandmother. But I guess I am. Can I tell you? And by the way, they're not expecting, just so you know, all right? But before that rumor gets started, time, once it is spent, is one of those things that can never be spent again. You can't go back to the past and live it, because once time is given, it cannot be respent. Time is the most precious commodity a human being can give to another. You cannot relive it, good or bad. I thank God there's a lot of bad things I don't have to go back and relive. But may I say this, even the good things I don't want to go back and relive, I want to duplicate it and do more now. I don't live looking in the rearview mirror. Did you know if you drive your car and is all you do is look in the rearview mirror, you're going to crash?
Yeah.
You can drive a little while and you use it for reference to find out where to go in the present, so that you can get to going where you're going in the future. But you're not supposed to drive just looking at that little mirror stuck right there looking backwards. Because if you're only looking backwards, you will crash.
Yes, sir.
And I'll tell you something about your life. If you live only looking in the past, you're going to crash.
Yes,
whether it's good, whether it's bad, whether it was great, whether it was horrible, it doesn't matter. If you live looking backwards, you're going to crash. You look back as a reference to say, oop, something's coming. Better hold on. I've been down that road, saw something coming. I better hold on tight. Here it comes. Y'all know what I'm talking about?
Yes, sir.
Hey, in life, quit looking in the back. Quit living in the past. Well, Brother Hiles died 15 years ago. Oh, I wished I had him back. Can I tell you something? I miss Brother Hiles too, but I don't want to have him back. God chose us for this time. Let's just go do what we're supposed to do. Besides, you bring him back, he's going to be mad as all get out. I don't want to see that. He'd be in jail for the way he preached with the sodomites. He was, you think we're tough on Hillary. He was tough on Hillary when Bill was her first husband. You'll get that. Ay, ay, ay. Can I tell you something? We should mind our own beeswax about the past. Did you know it doesn't matter what's in Miss Kim's past? You know, it doesn't matter what's in Brian's past. Doesn't matter what's in Brother Mike's past. Doesn't matter what's in Joe Heaney's past. It doesn't matter. I'm going to make a statement here. Why are Christians so good about forgiving people's past when they get saved, but once they've been saved and they do something wrong, we want to stomp them and kill them and throw them out? I got zero tolerance for that.
Amen. Thank you, preacher.
If you go to the hospital this afternoon because you cut your finger off, they're not going to take you into the ER and shoot you with a gun because you got a cut off finger. They're going to try to put that thing back together and sew it up. You say, how do you know? Because Jeff stuck his finger in the lawnmower. I know. And they'll try to put that thing back together. Can I tell you something? You don't put a bullet in somebody's head because they got hurt. They go to the hospital to get help, not get trounced on. This church is a hospital, not just for the lost. It's for the saved as well. Don't care what's in the past. Just come on back. It's all right. Well, they should have known better. How many things have you done wrong that you knew better? Let's not be so worried about everybody's past that we quit doing what we're supposed to do right now.
That's good.
Mind your own beeswax.
Amen.
Everybody doing all right? Man, am I having fun right now. You know, many of you need to leave the past where it's at, in the past.
Amen.
Some of you in this room today ought to be at this altar forgiving yourself for the past and quit living back there. Mm-hmm. Well, I've had such a hard time. I understand. May have been tragic even, but leave it in the past and go forward with what God has given you right now.
Yes.
Some of you are cheating the now and cheating the future because you can't forgive yourself of the past.
Amen.
Some of you, the present is very miserable because you keep looking back, living in the past. Keep looking forward and quit looking in the rearview mirror.
Well, that's
good. Can I tell you something? Turn around, look at the past and go... Preacher, you just don't understand. Yes, I do. Yes, I do. You can't change it anyway. You can't fix it anyway. Why not go forward?
Amen.
Let's just go forward. Quit asking everybody so many detailed questions about their past.
Yep.
If they need you to know, they'll let you know.
Yep.
Everybody doing all right?
Yes.
Man, I'm having fun. It's called mind your own beeswax. It's going to be a cold day where the Booger Man lives. That's a place very south of here. Okay? Before somebody messes up in our church and we bring them up here and we make them tell the whole church what they did wrong. That's unscriptural. Well, I happen to know somebody in your church. They got up and sang and they were a sinner. Every one of them are. None of us are above sin. Well, I happen to know they're a hypocrite. Well, the only hypocrite I know is the one talking about it right now.
Yeah.
Guess what? I believe God covers our sin. And if He's not going to judge us for our sin as a Christian, why should we judge each other? Well, there are certain sins that are... Okay, who made you God? There is no scripture in the Bible that says if you commit this sin, you have to stand before people and tell them what it was. I used John chapter 8 last Wednesday night about the lady that the scribes and Pharisees brought to Jesus and said, we caught her in adultery in the very act. Jesus let her go and said, I don't condemn thee. Go thou and sin no more. Do you know there's nowhere in Scripture that says she was actually guilty of it? She had accusers. biblical law would have required both parties present. We don't know she was guilty. Jesus didn't even know if she was guilty. He said, just go. Sin no more. If it was true, don't do it. But you only had accusers. You didn't have anybody condemn you. Everybody doing all right? Most of you grew up in church and thought that woman was guilty. We don't even know. We have preconceived that just because somebody said that they were wrong, they were wrong.
That's a good point.
Everybody doing okay?
Yep.
Can I tell you something? Forgive your past. Go on. It's in the rearview mirror. Quit letting it bother you. It's one of the reasons I think this I'm trying to think of a nice word to say here. This garbage of, well, I'm a recovering addict of alcohol. How long you been recovering? 37 years. You're healed, don't worry. There's no such thing as it takes 37 years, that once you're an alcoholic, you're always an alcoholic. Greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world.
That's good.
Amen.
Jesus will change your life.
Amen.
Can I tell you something? Well, I could go back to it. Yeah, we're all sinners and we can all go back to sin. But you're not a lifelong alcoholic. I don't care what AA tells you or RU or any other alphabet letters. Everybody doing all right? Say why? Forgiveness. Past is in the past. Go forward.
Amen.
The past is in the past. Go forward. You don't have to let these addictions get you. You can get saved, get God in your life, and greater is he that's in you, and he will help you get through that. And guess what? I can't tell you that the temptation won't be there ever again. But temptation is not sin. Yielding to it is.
Yes.
Leave the past in the past. So Jesus told the disciples, mind your own business about the future. Mind your own business about things you can't fix. Mind your own business about the past. Can I tell you something, Christian? How about we decide we're going to mind our own beeswax? Don't you think Mr. McCormick would change the past if he could? Lost his dear wife to a serious battle of cancer. Don't you think he would like to change it? But Mr. McCormick, it's not been the path. God has a reason. And he knows. And it's going to be okay. Don't you think Rhonda Craig would have changed not having her husband killed in a trucking accident and burnt to death? Wait till you read on the death certificate that he had smoke in his lungs. Which means he was alive during part of the fire. We're pretty sure he was not conscious, but just alive. Everybody doing okay? Guess what? We can't change it. But we can go forward. She texted me Thursday night and said, Preacher, had 3 people saved tonight. Took my bus girls out, soul winning. Glory to God. She's going forward. She texted me this morning. She said, Preacher, I'm in the hotel room. She said, I woke up thinking, oh my, I got to get Ray up, get him out the door, get him on the bus. She said, I'm still having those thoughts. I said, good. It's okay. It's okay. I understand. Don't you think there's something they would like to change? But guess what? They can't. So we've got to live with what we have and go forward.
Yes, you're right.
I wished I could take some of your heartache away. I wished I could take Mrs. Lopez's hurt away right now. I wished I could tell her it's not going to hurt. But I can't. But I do know we can go forward. I wished I could take Miss Osi's pain away. Bless her heart, but I can't. I can love on her. I can pray for her.
Amen.
I can do everything I know to do to help encourage everybody I know to encourage so we can all keep going forward. Can I tell you something? Mind your own beeswax about the future. Mind your own beeswax about the past. And mind your own beeswax about things you can't change. Let's just do what we can do right now and keep going forward.
Yes. Amen.
If you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, that's one thing you can fix. You can fix your eternity. You don't have to die and go to hell. You could come to this old-fashioned altar, let somebody take a Bible and show you how you can know for sure you're going to heaven someday. Maybe you've been saved and you need to obey the Lord in certain areas. You come and do that. But may I say this, maybe you just need to come and Get yourself right up at this altar. Just do it. Nobody's going to look down on you here.
Amen.
Say why? If they're looking down, they're actually looking up. Just so you know. They're not looking down. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. It's a preacher somewhere hidden inside that truth. God got me today. Something I needed. Would you raise your hand? God bless you. Scores of hands. I'd say, preacher, I'm 100% sure if I died today, I know 100% sure I'm going to heaven. Would you raise your hand? Oh, my soul, thank you. Who'd say, preacher, if I died today, I'm not sure I'm going to heaven, but I'd like to know. Would you raise your hand? All right, just a little one or two. In a moment, the piano will begin to play. When it begins to play, we'll stand to our feet. When we stand to our feet, if you need to come to this altar, you come. By the way, don't let what people might think or say stop you. You come. If you've been saved, never baptized, you'd like to be. We'll take care of that today. If you've been saved and baptized and like to join our church, you come today. We'd love to have you.